One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Glad that you're here with us today for the NTEB House Church Sunday service. Today, the Apostle Paul's epistle to Philemon shows you and me how to become a profitable Christian. Paul's letter to Philemon is one of the shortest books in the Bible, coming in at a mere 430 words contained within 25 verses. Being a personal letter from Paul to Philemon, it contains almost no doctrinal teaching. But Paul's letter contains something very valuable to us as Christians, and this is why the Holy Spirit included it in the canon of Scripture. Paul's letter to Philemon shows us what the real Christian life is all about, and more importantly, how and why we are to live it. Philemon chapter 1, chapter only, verses 1 through 3, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Ahippia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Philemon is a letter written from Paul to Philemon, who has a runaway servant named Onesimus, who is in fact with Paul as this letter is being written. Onesimus had gotten saved under the ministry of Paul, as did Philemon, and contention developed between Philemon and Onesimus, his servant, and he had run away. Paul writes his letter in the hopes of fostering a reconciliation between the two men. Indeed, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what follows in 25 verses in the book of Philemon is for us living in 2021 a much-needed refresher course in true Christian living in troublesome times. The overlooked book of Philemon has much to tell us about how the servant of God can become a profitable Christian. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. We thank you, Father God, for this ministry, for this outreach, and for the Bibles going out around the world and the billboards going up, witnessing the gospel of the grace of God. And Father God, as we gather this morning across America and around the world, and we bring our prayers and praise and petitions before you today, Lord, as we pray for each other and we pray for ourselves, we ask you, Father God, to meet with us and do what only you can do with us, Lord. We ask you to work and move and order and reorder the steps of our life so that it would be for your glory and for our good. And we thank you and praise you, Father God, for this time In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you're here today. It's a chilly day here in Northeast Florida. I woke up this morning. It was a blistering 59 degrees out. And I was at the ocean yesterday, and the water was fantastic. I wake up today, and it's 59 degrees. But that's kind of nice, too. I like the sweatshirt weather and the long sleeves and sitting on the patio having to wear thick socks. You know, if you live in Florida long enough, your blood begins to thin out. And 59 degrees when I lived in New Jersey, that was nothing. But 59 degrees here in Florida, well, that gets a little chilly. I've been studying this week in the book of Philemon. Tiny little book. A much overlooked little book. This morning we're going to open it up and we're going to ask God to meet with us. We're going to ask him to do what only he can do. And that is to order and reorder the steps of our lives for his glory and for our good. Very glad that you're here this morning.
Sometimes I feel so all alone while traveling through this land, climbing over mountains high and crossing desert sands. I often get weary on the trip, my strength is gone and I start to slip. But one thing keeps me pressing on, I'm looking for that land. I'm looking for that land, the eye of faith I see. I'm looking for that land where lovers wait for me. I'm looking for that happy time with Jesus there in peace and line. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land. Dear pilgrim, it won't be too long till we will say goodbye. We'll soon forget this life's short trip and all the weary miles. My pack of burdens here below won't reach the golden strand. While shouting, passing through the air, I'm looking for that land. I'm looking for that land, the eye of faith I see. I'm looking for that land where loved ones wait for me. I'm looking for that happy time with Jesus there and peace of mind. We're gonna live forever. I'm looking for that land. I'm looking for that land. The eye of faith I see. I'm looking for that land where love was waiting for me. I'm looking for that happy time with Jesus there and peace of mind. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal right and fast. And the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder on the earth. When the roll is called up yonder.
Called up yonder, will you be there? Well, you will be there if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get there. You got to get there through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you're not saved, that's how you get saved. In the chat room, Shaycaster is, he has a praise report, and he says that he's going to be coming for our November 20th Knights of Lights street preaching event. And we have a number of people who are going to be coming in from around the country. And we're very, very excited for that. Mark your calendars. If you have always wanted to see what real old-fashioned first century street preaching was all about, well, we do it here at Now the End Begins. We've been doing it for the last 9 years on the streets of St. Augustine. And November 20th, we're going to go street preach, and we are going to try to hand out about 5,000 gospel tracts in one night in downtown St. Augustine. Mark your calendars if you can come. We're going to meet at the bookstore for a short time of food and fellowship. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get on a bus, and we're going to go downtown, and we're going to go preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God to St. Augustine's Knights of Lights. That's November 20th. And you can go to nowtheendbegins.com for more information about that. Also, November 2nd, Tuesday, that's in just a couple of weeks, November 2nd, Tuesday, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the bookstore, we invite you to come see a short but very powerful historical presentation on the King James Bible, and Brother Mike Whalen is going to have with him a first edition, authentic, original 1611 King James Holy Bible. And that's November 2nd at the bookstore. And we invite you, if you're going to be in St. Augustine, come on down. It's free, and we're giving some free stuff away, and we're just going to have a good time in God's Word. So that's November 20th for the Knights of Lights street preaching event. and November 2nd for the NTEB King James Bible Night, where you will get to see a real, authentic, first edition, original 1611 King James Bible in great shape. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there at both those events. Amen. Will the circle be unbroken?
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the earth come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Well, I went back home. Home was lonely for my mother. There was crying, for our home felt sad and alone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Undertaker, Undertaker, won't you please drive slow? For that lady you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by?
Living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, He's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, He'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm
saved. I'm saved to new life
sublime.
Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved and I'm not going to hell.
If you're saved, you're not going to hell. But this world is. This present world, you can't love this world and God at the same time. Did you know that? Did you know that if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy with God? That's what the Bible says. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for the apostles, the disciples. And he says, in John 17:25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these that have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus says in John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Today in the book of Philemon, we're going to go over the entire book. It's only 25 verses. And we're going to see a number of biblical principles illustrated in the book of Philemon. And we're going to read about somebody by the name of Demas. Demas started out as a minister with the Apostle Paul. He was there with John Mark and Luke and all sorts of people. But when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You can't love God and the world at the same time. It's one or the other. Yesterday we did a story called Final Countdown. And this was the title, The Mark of the Beast Global System is Preparing to Launch the Metaverse, and You Need to Have Nothing to Do with It. A lot of people don't even know what the metaverse is, but they're working on it, and they're getting ready to bring it. And it's going to be unbelievably demonic. It's going to use augmented reality, virtual reality. It's going to take multiple generations of people who have been trained on video games and arcade games and dystopian movies. And if you think the internet is bad, if you think Facebook is a cesspool, wait till you see the metaverse. And I know it sounds like I'm talking science fiction. Sometimes it feels like I'm talking science fiction. But this, I assure you, I promise you, this is real. And they're getting ready to roll it out, and it's highly likely that we will see the beginning phases of the metaverse before the rapture takes place. This whole world is getting ready to go digital. Now, you might say to me, hey, brother, you're behind the times. No, I am not behind the times. I have a King James Bible, so I'm vastly ahead of the times. But Revelation 13, verses 13 through 15 tell us, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the... This is the metaverse. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Aunt Nancy says, my family is already using Oculus. Well, we're going to pray for your family, Nancy. Oculus is a bad thing. Microsoft HoloLens or HoloLens is a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I've been making websites for 27 years. I love technology. But God has already convicted me to have nothing to do with anything that's going to be connected to the metaverse. It's bad, 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 bad. And it's going to be demonic, and it's going to take control of your mind. And you really don't want that to happen. All right, one more song, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to bring our praise reports and our prayers and our petitions, and we're going to make our requests known. Aren't you so glad that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous? I am.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let this be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Clean hands and give us pure hearts.
Stretch our hands to God and ask Him that. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. And let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God. And give us pure hearts. And let us not lift our souls to another. God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God of Jacob.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we come before you as your body, as your bride, Lord, as your blood-bought church that you paid for with God's own blood. And we thank you, God, and we praise you, Lord, and we come before you as a church family. Lord, we need to hear from you today. We need to hear from you every hour, Lord. This world is headed to hell at a million miles an hour. And Lord, let us be in this world to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God, but not be of this world. We pray for lost souls today. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Rebecca Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark. We pray for Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony and Matthew. We pray for Trevor, Derek, Adam, and their families. Lord, our list of prayers for salvation is growing, and we rejoice when we see one get saved. That's truly a blessing, God, and we want to see more of that. Rob Beatty is recovering from COVID. We thank you for that, God. Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia, Harmon's son Michael, pancreatic cancer, Clayton Perry, cancer, Jesse Spurlock, cancer, Becky Markovich, cancer, Patty Rogalski's husband Jerry had a biopsy. It's an aggressive form of cancer, and he's waiting for the results to see if it's spread. Leanne Kreitz said her husband, Paul Kreitz, had a massive coronary heart attack, and he died on the table for 47 minutes. And his recovery, he lived amazingly. God spared his life. But he has a long road to go, and we pray for Paul Kreitz today. We pray for Hal, who needs a lung transplant. We pray for Marie Comfort, who is experiencing leg pain. We pray for Marie in Philadelphia, who had fainting spells yesterday, and we pray that God will give her a healing over that. Elizabeth and family and Unspoken, Suzanne Wood, depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, pancreatitis. Jeanette's mom has an Unspoken prayer. Dana has medical issues. May Samuels needs a healing. Lori Ann felt nauseous this morning. We pray that God would take care of even the little things like that. Little when you compare them to cancer and COVID, absolutely. But they're not little if it's happening to you. We pray for our overseas pastors, Pastor John Reed Danny and Arnell in the Philippines, Pastor Fojan in Vietnam. We pray for our NTEB street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge. Mike Hensel has been called to preach. Joshua Gaskins in, I'm going to get it right today, Joshua Gaskins in Chesterfield, Virginia. And Werner Bukes of Vancouver, Canada. He emailed me over the weekend so excited that him and his 15 fellow street preachers go ministering on the streets of Vancouver, Canada. And Werner Bukes hands out NTEB gospel tracts. And he said, please add me to your list of street preachers. Amen, brother. I like to see that list grow. If you're a street preacher and you listen to Now the End Begins, I want you to send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. I want to put you on the list. I was sharing with Kyle that I want to see NTEB street preachers in every state in the country. Werner Bukes is in Vancouver, Canada. I want to see more NTEB street preachers in Canada. I want to see them pop up in the UK. I want to see them in Europe. I want to see them in South America. I want to see them in Asia and the Middle East. We are going to call on God for some big, big, big things today. Marie in Philadelphia, she's a street preacher. Gonna add her to the list too. Rob says, numerous unspoken prayer requests. Shay Caster says, prayers for the lonely and shut-in people all over the world. That's a good prayer. But did you know that if you're a shut-in, you can be very useful for the kingdom of God? If you're a shut-in and you get yourself a computer, you can share the gospel all around the world. That's how Now the End Begins started. It started online. Angel says, prayer request for souls to be saved today. I want to give all my tracts and five Bibles away. Charlton says, prayer request. Got to start orienting work activities so I can come to the street preaching on November 20th. Amen, brother. Reagan Gorzel says, praise report. Reagan is Kyle's wife. Praise Report was able to give my student who asked for a Bible a couple of weeks ago, a King James Bible, plus two more to his grandparents. Pray that if they aren't saved, they would be. Amen. And Kyle says, while street preaching yesterday, spoke with a gentleman named Dakota, 25 years old. He's a believer, but admitted that he's going through a lot of trials. Currently suffering with kidney issues, and doctors gave him a year to live. He struggled finding good Christian fellowship and says he feels the Lord is calling him to preach to the youth. Well, isn't that something? If you were 25 years old and you had serious major kidney problems and your doctor said that they gave you a year to live, would you want to be spending that time preaching for the Lord? I would. But at 25 years old, man, that's something pretty special. We're going to pray for Dakota today. Joshua Gaskin says, pray for all the saints to wake up and be bold, to be a good soldier of the Lord, and to tell the lost world about the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Shay Caster is excited. He's coming down for the street preaching on the 20th, all the way from Montana. And he's coming down with Chris Hart. Looks like we're going to have ourselves another camp meeting next month. Man, that's exciting. Aunt Nancy says, my prayer request is our Lord will continue to bless this ministry. and that through it, more souls will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Shar says, praise report, my oldest daughter finally got married. They had been living together a while before. Amen, Shar. Jamie says, praise report, thank you to NTEB for my King James Bible and for bringing me closer to Jesus. Well, amen. Joshua Gaskin says, a prayer request for my father-in-law, Tony, to grow in knowledge and wisdom of the Lord through God's word, and that the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal it to him so that he can be strong in the Lord during these times. He's having a rough time with his job and everything that's going on. Mary says, please pray for my sister Joanne. She has eye surgery with a retinal detachment, and she has a lot of blood clots in her lungs. Please bless my daughter Mary Jo to get married before the rapture comes. Has a wonderful man in the Army Reserves. Shay Caster says, we're going to pray for Chris, otherwise known as R.R. Ryder. He's been absent lately, and we all pray that he is safe and sound. Kathleen in New Jersey says, I don't usually, and her screen name is Del Schnooze, but she's a fellow New Jerseyan like I am. She said, I don't usually have prayers, but today I have three. For my mom, Joan Marie, who suffers from depression and anxiety. For my husband, Joe, who will undergo a procedure on Monday for a blockage in his lower legs. For daughter, Kayleen, a college student experiencing stress and pain due to an infection, pulled muscle, or nerve pain, waiting for results. Amen, Kathleen. Nancy says, please pray for my family who have started to use the virtual reality Oculus from Facebook. We're going to be talking about that on the podcast tomorrow. That's some dangerous stuff. Hennertz says, unspoken prayers for my husband and I today and for my friends back as well. They threw it out yesterday. His Grace says, praying for God's hand on my friend's lung transplant and his salvation. Amen. Spray of Sunshine says, prayer for 5 sons, 3 salvation, and 5 deliverance from alcoholism. Shakira says, please pray for my mother. She has a leaky heart valve. And also for my nephew, Michael. His roommate comes from a family that does voodoo. They're probably from Haiti. Andrew says, please pray for my wife, Terry, who has a doctor appointment tomorrow, and for my sister, Laura, who has lupus. Joshua Gaskins, my mother-in-law, Mary, having low back, hip, and leg pain. Giacomino says, please pray for Paul and Peggy Caulfield, street preachers in Toronto. Lola said, prayers for your street preachers, Lord. Amen. Did you know everybody in the Bible who preached was a street preacher? Everybody. Shauna says, prayers for my father's stage 4 cancer, that his transition to heaven will be painless and peaceful. Amen. Also, prayers for a street preacher here in Coos Bay, Oregon, to come here. Chrissy says, pray for the 17 missionaries kidnapped in Haiti. I haven't heard about that, but we will pray for that. Shakira, would it be wrong to ask you to pray for my cat, Rachel? She is not eating, and I don't know what is wrong with her. No, that would be perfectly fine to pray for your cat, Rachel. I've been praying for a cat named Teddy. And today we're going to pray for a cat named Rachel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Charlton says, working towards street preaching real soon, handing out gospel tracts at gas stations, restaurants, and restrooms. Amen. Chrissy says, prayers for my feet, still very painful. Hard to walk, had 4 shots along with shockwave treatments. Sounds like she has plantar fasciitis or something like that, which can be excruciatingly painful. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered in the chat room who are listening live, and for the thousands that will listen in the archives. Lord, we pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. Lord, and for those of us that are saved, we ask you to send a holy fire, a holy unction, Lord, to get us in the game. Job chapter 1 shows us what the game is all about. That's probably why, as a society, we have been obsessed with game playing for 6,000 years. All goes back to Job chapter 1. That's the name of the game. Who will you serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua says. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, for all these prayers for healing. Lord, really big, serious things like kidney failure, cancer, and COVID, and everything else that can be a thorn in our flesh, Lord, like nausea and fainting spells and depression, anxiety, high blood pressure, and all these things, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to work and move as only you can, and to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Heal us, Father God. And Lord, we lift up the saints today. We lift up the street preachers. We lift up pastors across America and around the world preaching in their pulpits today. We pray, Lord, I don't see any revival in the Bible, but we pray for it anyway, Lord. And at the very least, revive us. Revive us, Father God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, and I always make people mad when I say this, but Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And I always make people mad when I say that what we're being called to overcome in Revelation 3:21 is the lukewarm spirit of the Laodicean church. That makes people mad for some reason. But if you believe the Bible, Jesus spits that church out of his mouth. They lose their inheritance at the judgment seat of Christ, many of them. But Jesus is gracious and merciful and long-suffering. And in Revelation 3:20 and 21, he gives an invitation to any individual, man, woman, or child who are saved. If you want to overcome that Laodicean spirit, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. Amen, Lord. That's my daily prayer. Lord, help me to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil in general, and in particular, the lukewarm Laodicean spirit that you spew out of your mouth. You don't like it, Lord, and we shouldn't like it either. So, Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, God. We praise you. Mrs. LT says, "Prayers for our son Joshua that he should meet Jesus, our Lord and Savior." Andrew says, "Please pray for my nephew Donnie, who just got out of prison and is on meth." Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, work and move as only you can, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. So glad that you're here today for our weekly NTEB's Sunday service. Can you believe that we've been doing this now for almost a year? I think we're going to have a little bit of a celebration when we reach one full year. That's on November 7th. November 7th will be the one-year anniversary of the NTEB House Church Sunday service. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today in the book of Philemon. So open up your King James Bibles, if you would, to one of the shortest books in the Bible, 430 words, 25 verses, roughly the same length as Obadiah and the book of Jude. And we're going to let Alexander Scorby read the 25 verses of Philemon to us this morning. So please, open your King James Bibles, and let's get started with the preaching.
The Epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The end of the Epistle of Paul to Philemon.
Amen. That was Alexander Scorby reading the book of Philemon, 25 verses, 430 words. Let's start at the top. Now, you have to remember that the book of Philemon is not really Bible doctrine from the perspective of Paul has not written this letter to teach a whole lot of Bible doctrine. This is a personal letter that the Apostle Paul has written to Philemon about his servant Onesimus, who has run away from serving Philemon. And Onesimus ran to the Apostle Paul. And when Paul writes this letter to Philemon, he is reminding Philemon of a number of things that have to do with Bible doctrine, even though that this is not a letter to teach Bible doctrine per se. But when you read the book of Philemon, and a lot of people just overlook it, and of course in the very racially charged times that we live in, Everybody looks at the fact that Onesimus is basically a bond servant or a slave of Philemon. And Paul tells Onesimus to go back to Philemon and that Philemon should receive him. And in the racially charged times that we live in, everybody focuses on the fact that, well, God must be a racist because the book of Philemon does not speak against slavery. Now, Onesimus is a bond servant. He is there to pay off a debt. And I think bond servant is a much, much more accurate term than slave. The Jewish people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But they couldn't leave, and they were mistreated very, very badly. And in some Bible versions, you see the word slave, but in the King James, you see the word servant. And there is some similarities between a slave and a servant. But as you're going to see today, Onesimus is not really a slave. He is a bond servant working in the household of Philemon. Now, what Philemon and Onesimus have in common is that they were both led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. So look at the first three verses of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that I want you to see is that the Apostle Paul calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing his letter to Philemon while he is in his first Roman imprisonment around the year 62 AD. And the Apostle Paul knows that nothing that happens to him is luck, good or bad. It's not random chance. It's not happenstance. The Apostle Paul finds himself in a Roman prison, and he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed him to wind up there. So many times I'll see people posting on Twitter or Facebook, Christians talking about luck and chance and happenstance. If you're a born-again Christian, you've been bought with a price. And that's really one of the major themes of the book of Philemon. Onesimus was bought with a price, but so was Philemon, and so was Paul, and Timothy, and Mark, and Luke. They were all bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And then 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." But the verse that's right before it says, 1 Corinthians 7:22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." So one of the things that we see here in the book of Philemon, Paul says he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you, if you're saved, are you a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Have you been bought with a price? That price is the shedding of God's blood on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says in multiple places that when Jesus shed that blood, God's blood, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood is the price of your purchase. You are not your own. So we don't need to get into any long-winded debate about Onesimus. Was he a slave? Was he a servant? Should the Bible be preaching against slavery? Should the Bible be preaching against somebody being somebody else's bondservant? You don't have to confuse yourself with any of that junk, because the book, in the very first six words of Philemon, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, I could stop right there and not go into any rest of the book of Philemon, and I could preach a 3-hour sermon on Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, when he was knocked off his horse, who art thou, Lord? It is Jesus whom thou persecutest. What would thou have me to do? Paul became a prisoner of Jesus Christ the moment he met him on the Damascus Road. And for the rest of his life and for the rest of his ministry, somewhere between 35 and 38 years later, the Apostle Paul considered himself to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Love not the world and love not the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, you can't love God. You're either going to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ or you're going to be a prisoner of the devil. Which one are you going to be? But you're going to be one. Bob Dylan, when he went through his born-again Christian phase, he wrote a song, Everyone is going to serve somebody. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty close to Bible truth. You're either going to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil, or you're going to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're either going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to continue serving Satan. But there's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. So the Apostle Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and so is Timothy. He's here with me. And we're writing this letter to our dearly beloved Philemon. And Paul calls Philemon a fellow laborer. And he says also to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So, in the first three verses, you have prisoner, fellow laborer, fellow soldier. Does that describe you? Is that you on the front lines of the end times? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, what does Paul say? 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Is that you? Are you a soldier? Are you on the front lines or are you AWOL? AWOL is a military designation which means absent without leave. You left your post, but you weren't told to do it. Demas left. Where are you on the front lines of the end times? Paul says he's a prisoner. He talks about all these people being fellow laborers, fellow soldiers. And Paul says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by the brother. That word communication in verse 6, you know what that means? Have you ever looked that word up? That means Paul is thanking Philemon because Philemon gives the apostles and the ministers. He gives them food. He gives them shelter. He gives them the finances that they need to spread the gospel. And he says in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that Philemon is able to communicate unto the needs of the saints because he has been saved by Christ Jesus. And because of that, Philemon has a desire to take care of the things of God. And Paul is saying, thank you very much. Verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What does he mean, the bowels of the saints? That means the innermost part of you. That means when Paul talks about something being in the bowels, it's in the deepest part. And he is commending Philemon for contributing and communicating to the needs of the saints. Then we get to verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And now Paul is going to ask Philemon for something. Philemon has been very generous with giving to the needs of the saints and of the church. Obviously, he has taken care of their financial needs and their food needs. He's probably sheltered a few of them. He probably keeps a room in his house where ministers can stay when they pass through town. But now Paul is going to go a little bit deeper, and he's going to ask him for something that's going to be a little tougher to give than money, food, clothing, and shelter. He's going to ask Philemon to reconcile with Onesimus, his bondservant who has run away. And it looks like before Onesimus left, he might have stolen some money from Philemon in a moment of weakness. Onesimus has run away and he is with the Apostle Paul. In fact, the Apostle Paul, it looks like when you get to the end of Philemon, he's actually dictating this letter to Onesimus. But here in verse 10, Paul is going to ask Philemon for something pretty hard to give. And if you've ever had a fight with another Christian, if you've ever had a really bad disagreement, then you know how hard what Paul is going to ask Philemon is to actually do. Verse 10 says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. So Paul says in verse 10, I shared the gospel with Onesimus. He is like a son in the faith. And I shared the gospel with your servant, and he got saved. And then you guys had this conflict. He became unprofitable to you, but he's profitable to you and me now, because he's gotten saved. And he says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Oh boy, What is Paul talking about now? Paul's talking about the cheerful giver. Keep your finger in Philemon and turn to 2 Corinthians, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, Philemon has no problem at all giving money, and money is very necessary. We couldn't do the billboard program if you guys didn't give money. We couldn't be sending out these thousands, almost 10,000 King James Bibles in 2021. We couldn't be doing any of that without you guys praying and giving money. But Paul is talking about something that goes a little bit deeper than giving money, clothing and food and shelter. He says, now you've got to be reconciled with Onesimus. And Paul says, I'm not going to do it against your will. I'm not going to force you. You've got to want to. He says in verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. Please, I know you're mad at Onesimus, but I want you to receive him like you would receive me. And Paul says in verse 13 of Philemon, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. That's how you give to the work of God, not of necessity, even though there are necessities that need to be taken care of. But Paul is reminding Philemon, I'm not going to go, if you're not with me on this, verse 4, but without thy mind would I do nothing. If I can't get you on the same page, Philemon, I'm not going to do it, but I really want to get you on the same page. I want you to want to be on the same page with me. Verse 15 says, for perhaps he, Onesimus, therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee both in the flesh and in the Lord. I want to park there for just a few moments. The Apostle Paul says in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. What does Jesus say? I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. John 15 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And when we get in line with Jesus Christ, we go from being a servant to being his friend. Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. Galatians 3:29 says that if you're born again, you are counted with faithful Abraham. And in Philemon, he says, yes, verse 15, he departed from you for a season, but he wants to come back. He wants to be reconciled. The Apostle Paul talks about the ministry of reconciliation. And this is really what he's trying to teach Philemon here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is exactly what Paul is telling Philemon. Philemon has every right to be angry. His bondservant Onesimus stole from him, and then he ran away. He had a moment of weakness. Maybe that's something that most of us could relate to. Having weak moments with the Lord. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God went walking in the garden? Adam, wherefore art thou, Adam? He couldn't find Adam because Adam ran away. But God made Adam and Eve coats of skin. Philemon 1:15 says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." We read in Ephesians chapter 1 that when we got saved, we were saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And Paul is reminding Philemon what great things that Jesus Christ has done for him. And now he needs to be a communicator of that grace, of that mercy. He now needs to communicate that, which means to give that. That's an old English word. It doesn't just mean to talk to somebody or have a conversation. The word communicate in your King James Bible has very much to do with giving. And now this man, Philemon, who has been very generous with the saints, he now has a problem with his servant, Onesimus, and Paul is asking him to do something that is not just hard, but it is doubly hard. He is not simply asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus and welcome him back as a servant. That's fairly easy to do. But now he is saying in verse 15 that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. And then look at what Paul says. Paul says in verse 17, if you are a partner with me in the gospel, if you and I are fellow soldiers and fellow laborers on the front lines of the end times, I want you to receive Onesimus just like you would if I was to come to your house. You would be really happy to see me. I want you to receive Onesimus like me. And then look what Paul says in verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how much thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. And there Paul gives Philemon a little bit of a jab. And he says, hey, Philemon, I'm only asking you to do what the Bible says you should do. I'm only asking you to do what Jesus Christ says you should do. But I'm also going to remind you how much I've done for you. And now I want you to repay me by receiving Onesimus. That is giving at the highest level. There's lots of things that Paul could have said to Philemon. He could have said, man, you owe me. Now you do it because you owe me. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says, yes, look at all the things that I've done for you. But now I want you to do something special for Onesimus that's really hard to do. I want you to do something for Onesimus that just might possibly earn you a crown at the judgment seat of Christ because it's hard to do. Anything that will earn you a crown at the judgment seat of Christ is something that is hard to do. You don't get rewarded for the easy stuff. You get rewarded for the stuff that's hard to do. And Paul says, if you count me as a partner, receive Onesimus like you would receive me. If he owes you money, well, you put that on my account. I'll pay it. I'm not concerned about the money. He owes it to you. It's going to come back to you. But I'm talking about something that's a lot more important than money. I'm talking about reconciling unto your brother. And yes, Onesimus is your bondservant, but he is also your fellow laborer. He is your fellow soldier, and he is your brother in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible doesn't record what Philemon's reaction was, but we do know that Onesimus came back to Philemon, and he came back bearing this letter because we're reading this letter. And when we read this short but very meaty book of Philemon that doesn't really have any Bible doctrine in it, it causes you to remember what you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. If you're saved today, I want to remind you that you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That means you've been bought with the price of blood, God's blood. So how should you live your life if you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Paul said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He also said that these men that were with him were his fellow laborers, his fellow soldiers. Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, there's lots of things that have happened over the last 22 months in this crazy pandemic, in this crazy COVID insanity. And yes, I personally know three people that have died of COVID. People that were friends of mine. People that died during this pandemic. But what I'm grateful for about this pandemic is this was the thing that finally pulled me into full-time ministry. And it was really just through the reading of Philemon, as God began to witness to me. You know, the Bible says about itself that as you read the Bible reads you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible is the only book that, as you read the Bible reads you. And it was really just this week, during my reading of Philemon and meditating on it and cross-referencing it and really thinking about what Paul was saying to Philemon, I began to realize that one of the things that has always held me back from full-time ministry is, even though I had cut a lot of ties and I had greatly decreased my love of the world, I hadn't let it go. And one thing about this pandemic that I'm very grateful for is it finally brought me to a place where I'm beginning to understand, after 12 years of doing Now the End Begins, I'm finally beginning to understand what it means to be in full-time ministry and all the ties that you have to cut. You got to get rid of the sports. You got to get rid of the movies. You got to get rid of all those things. The number one movie in America right now is Halloween Kills. That's the number one movie in America right now. I want you to think about that. I'm not saying that you should never watch a documentary or watch a Christian movie or anything like that. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that worldly entertainment, worldly music, even up to about 2.5 years ago, I used to try on a Sunday as much as I could to watch my football game. And I would record the game so I could watch it after the preaching. And all that junk, you think about the NFL and what they stand for and what they promote. Garbage. Absolute garbage. Over the last couple of months, I took all my football jerseys, had about 15 of them, and I took them all to Goodwill. I was going to burn them, but somebody said to me, you know what, why don't you give them away, and that can be a blessing to somebody else. That could be a shirt for somebody who needs a shirt. Whatever the case may be. So instead of burning them, I gave them away. But when I was reading the book of Philemon this week, and these same words kept jumping out at me, prisoner, fellow laborer, fellow soldier, saint. And I really meditated on what Paul was saying to Philemon. The type of giving that God wants us to do. Yes, God wants us to minister to the needs of the saints. Absolutely. But as you do that, God calls you to that next higher level. And now Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, is saying to Philemon, Onesimus stole from you and he ran away, but he got saved. Paul shared the gospel with him, and now Paul is sending him back to you. And not only do I want you to restore him, I don't want you to restore him as a servant. I want you to restore him as a brother. Have you ever had something in your life, somebody who had wronged you, somebody who had hurt you? What does God call you to do? Well, what did God call Philemon to do? To forgive him and to restore him. And that's hard to do. I've had to do that in my life. And believe me when I tell you, that is some hard stuff to do. When you have to restore somebody who's betrayed you, somebody who's stabbed you in the back, somebody who's lied about you, somebody who's stolen from you. That's not easy. If it was easy, Philemon wouldn't be in the Bible. But Paul says to him, If he has wronged you or he owes you anything, you put that on my account. Isn't that what Jesus says to me and you, to the Father? Jesus Christ is our advocate to the Father. And when we sin, when we backslide, Jesus says to God the Father, Father, put that on my account and restore such an one. That's what New Testament salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. And yeah, it's great to go to a preaching service, and it's great to shout and say amen, and to hear some really good gospel singers, and to hear some really hot and fiery old-time gospel preaching. I love all that stuff. But then when church is over, you got to go back out into your everyday life. You got to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. You got to overcome the spirit of the Laodicean church. You have to minister unto the needs of the saints. You have to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And then you have to restore people who have wronged you. Now, I know that's not as exciting as what Kenneth Copeland preaches. I know that that's not as fun-filled as the false promises of Joel Osteen. But what I just told you is what the Christian life is really and actually all about. Only one life twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Philemon had to step up his game. And Philemon had to do something that he really didn't want to do. And Paul said, I'm not going to make you do it. I want you to want to do it. How about you? Do you want to do it? Is that your prayer? Lord, make me more like you. Lord, conform me to the image of thy dear son. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Well, if you want to be more like Jesus, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And part of that is to take the gospel to the streets and reconcile lost sinners to God. Part of that is reconciling yourself, if you're saved, back to God when you mess up. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we do for ourselves to get us clean. But then we've got to do like Paul says to Philemon. I'm not going to make you do it, Phil. But you got to want to do it. You got to want to do it for the right reasons. And that's what real biblical Christianity is all about. Not just doing the right thing, but doing the right thing for the right reason because you want to be more like Jesus Christ. The Bible says, being reviled, he reviled not again. Being persecuted, he suffered it. He went as a sheep unto the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Jesus went to the cross willingly. And might I say, joyfully. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey, Philemon, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We said on our last program on Wednesday night, if you want the crown later, you got to have the cross now. If you have the crown now, you're going to get the cross later. Jesus Christ looked unto the cross joyfully, not because of what he was going to suffer, but because of what fruits that suffering would produce. Paul said to Philemon, "Hey, Phil, I want you to receive Onesimus like you would receive me. If he owes you something, put it on my tab, brother. I'll pay it for him. But I want you to want him back. Not grudgingly, not with your arms crossed across your chest, with a big pout on your face, but because you want to do it. Because you understand Jesus Christ did this for you, and now you have to do it for someone else who needs it." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered. We thank you for your word that was preached. And we pray, Lord, that it would bear much fruit. And Father God, like Paul said to Philemon, let us want to do these things that you call us to do, not because we're forced to do it. And oh, well, I guess I have to. You don't have to. If you're saved, you can just sit there and you could put on the NFL and the Major League Baseball and basketball and pop yourself a cold beer and just sit there in your Laodicean easy chair and live out your days until death or rapture. But how much better is it going to be to hear that Revelation 3:20 knock on the door, and you answer that door, you open that door, and you say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll take what comes with ministry. I'll take what comes with preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God. And give me the Holy Spirit scissors, Lord, to cut the ties of this world in every place that you want me to cut them, that I might be sold out and sealed for you." And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philemon is only 430 words long, only 25 verses. And we just scratched the surface of what Paul was trying to teach Philemon. And you know what? This is exactly what God's trying to teach me and you. Not just to do these things, but to want to do these things. And to do these things willingly because we love Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great Sunday afternoon, everybody.